Welcome to part two of the Av Podcast with Kyle C on South Shore Av Radio. So I'm not going to waste too much time. We're going to get into it right now. Part two was called The Trap, which is basically discussing the balance in today's hip-hop music. So I'm going to introduce to you my special guest for part two of the Av Podcast. So I'd like to welcome my guest to the pod today. He's a past contributor to the blog. He's helped to co-write the 20th anniversary articles of Biggie Smalls' Ready to Die, as well as Raekwon's Only Built for Cuban Links album write-ups, which you can find in the Golden Era section if you scroll to the top of the page. He's also co-written the Flashback Friday video post of Cardinal Official's Bacardi Slang as well, which you can also find in the Flashback Friday video section. Not only is this man one of my oldest friends that I have, he might just be one of the most sarcastic human beings I've ever met on this planet, which might make for a good podcast. Who knows? Tell you what, let's find out together. Ladies and gentlemen, listeners of the pod, let's welcome Sean Adonis to the Av today. Welcome to the Av, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for the invitation. I appreciate it.
Yes, no problem.
It's been long overdue, but you know, it's better late than never. You know, just to let you know, as I mentioned to you before, man, like our friendship was hanging on the guillotine waiting for this appearance, man. I was like, you know, let me see too many other people make an appearance before me, and I have to let the blade come down on it, man. But I'm glad it didn't have to go that way, Calvin. Like, you know, I really cherish your friendship.
It's,
so
it's all good. For the last like 2 weeks, my neck has been sore too. I didn't understand why. Well, now I understand. I get it now. I totally understand.
Yeah. That's a premonition you had, man. Believe me, he was about to be the dude from Game of Thrones. What was his name there? The King of the North.
I don't even watch the show. I'm probably like one of the few people who don't watch the Game of Thrones.
Yeah, you're not missing much now. But anyway.
Well,
all right, sir. So yeah, thanks again, man. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, man, no doubt. So reason why you're on the pod today is, you know, we got to get into the, and this is a reflection of some of the conversations we've had in the last couple years or so, which is regarding like the balance of hip hop today, you know, in terms of what we're hearing on the radio, what's consuming the airwaves most of the time now.
Okay.
But, you know, which is called trap music. But before we get to trap music, I know you have a topic that's very dear to your heart that I know you're just aching to get into. It's called one word. It's called panda.
Yeah.
So is it me or... And I'm sure a lot of people have realized this who like the song. He doesn't sound a lot like Future, does he? Not at all, right? Nah, he doesn't sound like Future.
I mean, realistically, I'll just bring you through my different feelings on this entire song. So, I mean, we're not really, you know, shattering anybody's... we're not shattering any truths here by saying, you know, this guy sounds like Future. Everybody knows that, but... When I first heard this song, okay, I was like, wow, this is garbage. I cannot believe this guy sounds like Future. And it's not like, you know, reminiscent of Future, so there was like plausible deniability. Mm-hmm. It was like Future listened to that and be like, when the hell did I make this song kind of sound like Future? You know what I mean? Because, you know, he does that promethazine and stuff, so it's very possible that, you know, he was under the influence and forgot studio sessions or whatnot. But so... When I heard it, I said, okay, like, this is such a jack move. It's such a deliberate ripoff that I can't endorse this, right. You know? And aside from the fact that I can't understand, like, 95% of what he's saying, other than I got broads in Atlanta. So it was when I went to New York recently, you know, and I like I said, I dedicated myself to hating this guy.
Right.
And I went to New York, and I was sitting there in Jimmy Jazz, and I was... You know, the DJ, being in New York, he had the bass and, you know, the turntables, and he was playing it.
Right.
And I was doing my best, Calvin. I was trying my best to resist enjoying this music, man. But after a while, them ad-libs, he just kept on pulling it back and pulling it back. I couldn't resist it, man. But after that, like, I mean, I dig the song. I dig it musically.
Right.
But it's just such a disappointing statement for our generation as far as integrity of creativity and stuff, man. It's like, it's incredibly a sad state of affairs that this thing we call hip-hop right now, man.
But at the same time, I don't want to say crazy to believe, but with all that said, and I agree with you, sounds kind of hot.
Sounds crazy hot. I won't even lie. It's honestly speaking, he really got one. He got one with that track. And I hear it's like number one on the charts right now.
Right.
Like, but as hot as it is, this is the thing, Calvin. Imagine this. Like, imagine I go and I remake Goodfellas. And I've been accepted with a bunch of black dudes, and it's the exact same storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Is anybody going to be like, man, Sean's a groundbreaking filmmaker. Oh my gosh, look at this amazing production he put together. They're not going to do that. You know what I mean?
No, they're just going to tear you apart.
You know, if I go up and tell, I do a stand-up routine, and I tell all of Dave Chappelle's jokes, no one's going to be like, man, that guy Sean's hilarious. But it's like, it's sad that hip-hop, like, we've gotten to that point where, you know, like I said before, our integrity is just so low that we give the guy credit for completely jacking Future's flow, Future's style. If he sounds like Future, that's one thing, you know, but to completely imitate Future and then while Future's still alive and we like, yeah, I like Future. We like this we like this fake Future better than you.
Well, it's funny because, you know, obviously we wrote the write up for Cuban Links, and you know, one of the tracks on Cuban Links was Shark Biters, right? If you obviously you know that. The yeah. Just the concept of jacking people's styles, right? I mean, that was 20 mm-hmm. years ago. And now it's at a point, and I told you this, I swear I told you this last week. I thought not only does this guy sound so much like Future, I actually thought he was Future, and I thought he was just using a different alias. Like Wu-Tang.
Yeah.
You remember, like, back in the day, Method Man would be like, yes, I'm Johnny Blaze. Biggie Smalls would be like, I'm Frank White. I just thought, so when I got Kanye's album, I'm like, designer, and I heard the song. I'm like, oh, I guess Future's got a new nickname. All right, cool. And I was just rolling with it, right? Until yeah. about maybe like a few weeks ago, you know, I hear the radio, I'm listening to the song on the radio. It comes on, and then at the end, they're like, yes, and that was Panda from Designer. And I'm like, what? I'm like, who the hell is Designer? I had to go Google it, you know, and everything else. And I saw that, and I'm like, yo, are you kidding me right now? So this guy is actually, and then here's the scary part too. You would think this guy's from like Decatur, you know, or somewhere in the Mississippi. He's from Louisiana. This guy's from Brooklyn.
That's exactly. This guy's from New York, and he has that thick Southern drawl, man.
Yeah,
you can't understand a word the guy is saying.
And speaking of which, you're talking about you didn't understand a word he's saying. I really believe he could literally say anything on that song and people would just rock with it. So he it's could true. Be like, so in the song, you know, the song's about, and I have to Google this on Rap Genius, right? The song's about the BMW, the X6, the white one, because it looks like a panda, right?
Oh my gosh. Hold on a second, time out. Do they know this because he revealed this in the song lyrically? He said X6? Well, or he said that in the song?
He says X6 in the song, right? Because wow. I actually have to read okay. the lyrics. So, but I'm serious. At this point, he could have been, because where he's like, Black X6, Phantom, right? And he's saying all this stuff, Nike
oh,
swoosh.
Oh, that's what he said.
Yeah, so that's okay. what he's saying. See, he didn't even know.
Now it makes sense.
That's what he's saying in the song. So, like, at this point, he could have been like, Cocoa Bread, Patty, exactly. Bully Beef, Aki, I Want Some Potato with Chana. Inside of a roti and pear tracks, like he could have been
saying, song is delicious.
Yeah, he, and then a whole movement would have started. You know what I mean? So you would have been like, yeah. you had a Bully Beef dance. You know, people be running around like, oh, look, he Bully Beefing. It's a new dab. He Bully Beefing. You know?
Yeah, Calvin. Honestly speaking, it sounds like you're making a joke, but that is so close to reality. It's unbelievable, man. Believe me, that's probably going to be the lick for this summer. Don't that's a possibility, man. Believe me.
Yeah, and like don't I said, it's and it's funny because, you know, with the passing of Fife Dawg, you know, about a month ago, part of the reason why, like, obviously hit everybody that, you know, came up in this generation of like the 90s and stuff, like grew up on 90s hip hop and everything else, that but the part that made me kind of like, I guess, reflective in a way, not sad, but reflective in a way, is that I missed the balance. So, for example, you know, even the rappers in New York, like from Wu-Tang to Boot Camp to all these guys, they all sounded, they didn't sound the same. They all sounded different from one another, right?
Yeah.
So, and then like, as great as like Death Row was, you know, there's a time Death Row was just, that was a lick. Everything was, you know, everything was Death Row. Everything was Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg and the Dog Pound, everything else. But then you had Wu-Tang, you had Tribe, you had Outkast, you know, you had Scarface down south. You know what I mean? Like, you had Common in the Midwest, and everybody just had a different style, and you could rock with it, right?
It's true, you're right.
And so seeing somebody like a story like Panda, and like both of us admit, like, we actually like, we like the song, but the sad thing is, again, this guy's from Brooklyn. Like, it doesn't, it, there's no authenticity anymore, right? Like, so somebody like Future, so somebody like Future can come out, and it's great. Like, you know, here's Future. He's a, you know, unique sounding artist. He has a unique voice, and yeah, he's doing some auto-tune and stuff, but, you know, his whole persona and everything else that he's carrying, it just, it made him a star, right? But now, here's somebody else, as you said, he's not, you would think he's dead, you know, he's like 20 exactly. years old, and here he is about to come up the same way.
Yo, no joke, I was speaking to our boy Rob the other day, and I'm the one that put him on, actually, I try to put him on the Future, right? Because even Future, like, I mean, that's a whole other topic. Like, Future had to grow on me. And I don't know if it's because my rap immune system deteriorated through the years. And I got my lack of lyrics made me weak. But I was listening, I was playing a Future song for him.
Right.
And there's a lyric where he says something like, what does he say? I gave up on my conscience, got to live with it, right? Mm-hmm. Basically speaking about, like, you know, doing crimes. I gave up on my conscience, got to live with it. Mm-hmm. I played it for Rob. I'm like, yo, that's so dope, man. He's like, what's so dope about that? He's like, I have no conscience. Who cares? That's not clever. And I was like stumped. Like, yeah, well, it's the way he says it. You know what I mean? Realistically speaking, it's not dope, right? I mean, it's not. I dig it, but I can't, you know, sit there and say it's a quotable. So a few weeks later, between now and then, we spoke about Panda. And he's like, yo, man, thank you for putting me onto that song, man. I've been playing it at work all the time, man. He's so much better than Future. I'm like, so much better than Future? He's copying Future. you can't tell me he's so much better than the guy he's copying when he copies the guy and adds to what the guy, he steals the guy's style and adds to it. That's like you stealing my recipe and adding some extra ingredients and telling, and someone saying, man, he's so much of a better cook than Sean. You know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense.
It's almost like the talented Mr. Ripley, where Matt Damon, you know, takes over the guy's Jude Law's image, but it doesn't end with him killing Jude Law. He just leaves Jude Law living. It just continues to live his life. Like,
exactly.
it's the weirdest thing. It's hip hop is in a weird place, right? And I think our generation can kind of, we're like caught in the middle, right? So. The some of the cats are like, you know, the generation that's a little older than us, right? They can't stand this, right?
Yeah.
And you know, so there's that spectrum, and then of course the spectrum of like the 19 and the 20 year olds and everybody that's rocking out to this. But yeah, I think we're in a generation because we grew up on 90s hip hop and you know, like 10, 15 years ago and stuff. We're the generation that still keeps up with some of this stuff. You know, exactly. for the most part, but I feel like it's we're all conflicted in a way, right? So I remember I was in I was texting, I was in a chat group with some friends, and they were talking about the 2 Chainz and Lil Wayne album, whatever. And I said, hey, you know what? I'm not really a fan of 2 Chainz that much. I like some of his stuff, but you know, and I'm like, I can't turn my brain off. I'm like, lyrically, this isn't, you know, this is not what I'm into, kind of thing, right? Yeah. And these guys are our age, Sean, right? And these guys, I swear, they went at me like, you would have swore, they were like calling me an old man, You know, like, you know, I don't want to get with the new stuff. And I'm like, are you guys serious? Like, oh, Sean, I mean, they went after me. They made me seem like the crazy old man that had like the dirty marina on and a pair of slacks on the porch, you know, just rocking back and forth. Got on like a one pair of sock, one flip-flop, both on the same foot, you know?
Yo, these guys are musical whores. Nobody that was raised in our generation should be like, 2 Chainz is fire. Nobody should say that. Now, don't get me wrong. I could see how they could be confused by the, I won't say seduction, but by the swag. I hate to use that word even because that's kind of outdated now. But, right, you know, be fooled by the whole thing. I mean, he looks cool. I mean, his flow's slightly cool. You know what I mean? Mm. And it's like, these days, it's like image kind of supersedes who you are. Sorry.
Right.
Not who you are. That's a little bit too much brandy here. Image supersedes, like, the actual content of what you're saying or even the flow. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, and that's why, to be honest with you, the whole Drake thing threw me for a loop. Because Drake didn't come at us with image. He just came to us with straight talent, and people ate it up. And he's from Canada, and I was, like, waiting for the rug to be pulled from under him. I'm like, wait a second. They're going to realize he hasn't killed anybody at some point, right? So they're going to realize he's not selling drugs and that he's not a pimp. They're going to realize this. So that's why that took me for a loop, and, you know, him and the J. Cole's and the Kendrick Lamar. But
right,
when it comes to like 2 Chainz and certain people like that, it's like you kind of just, if you could dance to it and that, it kind of like,
that's enough.
Rhythmically sounds good. It's like, I don't care what he's saying, because you're saying people in the chat room, ask them, really, can they compose the same lyrics that 2 Chainz did? Or could they do, like, I mean, could they do any worse, I should say? Could they compose anything simpler than what 2 Chainz says?
I'm pretty sure they're educated, so I'm pretty sure they all can come up with probably a little more intricate stuff than the 2 Chainz, believe it or
not.
I'm sitting here ripping 2 Chainz, but, you know, like, again, it's just, you know, I don't, like I said, again, I don't mind this stuff.
There's no brain teasers there.
Yeah,
2 Chainz ain't making you scratch your head at any point in time in the track, man.
But
again, like you said, I don't want to rip 2 Chainz. He looks like a nice guy. You know what I mean? And like I said, he's cool. But come on, man! Like, people, people our age are telling you, Calvin, are you crazy? Because you don't sit there and bang 2 Chainz in your headphones? Come on, man!
Yeah, trust me, man. To them, I think, like, in that conversation, anyway, I was just the old man just screaming at people on the to get off my lawn. You know what I mean? Just like, but what are you talking about? Get off my lawn, you know?
And you know what? The thing is this, though. Every generation always talks about how the new generation doesn't understand, right? Like,
right,
you know, your brother and his friends did that to us, and they were like, you know, like Chris and Curtis and them, like, you know, they would drop some gems on us, and we'd laugh, like, oh, you crazy old man, what are you talking about? You know, I remember them saying stuff like, oh, trust me, you guys, you're so close now. But when you guys get older, you'll drift apart. Like, are you crazy? We'll be hanging for life, you know? and then now with kids and houses and hundreds of kilometers between us, look what happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, they said, oh, this music, you guys, this is garbage compared to certain things that we listened to when we were growing older. And, you know, same thing. We're like, oh, what are you talking about? So, you know, every generation, and, you know, their parents did it to them. You know, they said, you know, this, the Motown sound and whatnot, or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
You know, you even if you want to talk about, you know, soca or West Indian music, you know, they said that was quality. And now what's going on today, Vibes Cartel and that, it's all garbage.
Right.
So, I mean, we're just, you know, we're keeping the cycle going. But, Calvin, we're right this time. We're so right. I know it sounds like everybody thinks that, but we're so right. You know why we're right? And I'll tell you why we're right. We're right because the music that we listened to growing up, sonically, can still stand the test of time.
It really
against
can.
Anything today.
It really can.
Right? Because, like, what your older brothers listened to growing up, if you played it after one of our tracks at the time, it just sounded like, you can tell how much rap had evolved between the two generations.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'll admit that flows and riding beats have evolved because, you know, back in the day, you know, it was a lot slower flows and a lot, you know, the focus was more so on what you were saying as opposed to necessarily riding the beat incredibly creatively, right?
Right.
But come on, who can honestly say that the content of music has not devolved? Like it's a fact. It's like saying that, it's like arguing global warming. It's a fact, man.
But it's funny because I was watching this this clip on the internet. You could probably find it on YouTube or something. It was a Big Daddy Kane, and I guess somebody asked Big Daddy Kane, what would he sound like now if he came out in 2016? And he said, you know, if I came out in 2016, I'd probably sound like this. He'd probably be like, rappers stepping to me because they really want to get some. Like that.
Exactly. And people will be like, man, that's fire.
You know, and it made me laugh because I'm like thinking of like, yeah, what would Run DMC sound like if they came out right now? You know, can you imagine Run DMC, like DMC's coming out, they're like, down with the king, down with the king.
Exactly, man.
these guys would be on the mic like, I'm the man you see in the place to be. I went to St. John's University. Woo! University, exactly. Huh? Like, it just...
that's exactly,
you know, it would be crazy, but it's funny. But to circle back on a point I was making a few minutes earlier, that how our generation right now is like conflicted. You have that one side that are like, they're just engulfing everything that's coming out right now, right? Mm-hmm. But then there's a flip side who not only they can't stand this music right now, but they're treating it like it's like ISIS, like they're a terrorist group, and we they want to do all they can to just nuke the problem. You know what I mean?
It's true.
But it's funny. But it's like the funny thing is that trap music and, you know, like Dirty South and all that stuff, it's needed. It is needed. Like, so I don't want to sit here and dismiss it, because it is needed. Because even back in the day, like, listen, as much as I love me, you know, like a Mos Def, and, you know, I love listening to Common, you know, I had to pull out my MOP CDs and Dog Pounds at the same time, in the same breath, right?
Yeah. But,
or like, you know, you can go from like Luther Vandross to, you know, to 50 Cent, you know what I mean? Like, you might have both CDs in the car, you know what I mean? Yeah. Or at least I did, because that's, you know, like, it was just so used to that kind of a balance. Now, I don't want to sound like the old head, because don't get me wrong, even if you flipped it back 20 years ago to 1995 or whatever, 96, 95, 94, that golden era, if all we heard was the same sound, like if everybody sounded like the Dog Pound, if everybody sounded like they came running out of a Dr. Dre studio, I'd be tired of it too.
Yeah, actually, you're right.
You know?
Right.
Like if Wu-Tang came and they sounded like they're from Long Beach, I'd be like, yo, why does everybody sound like this?
Yeah. Actually, you're right. And actually, you hit the nail on the head with that, because, and I'll reiterate what you said. I'm not hating on Southern music, because I'm not Southern. So who am I to dictate what Southern people enjoy and what they think is dope?
Right.
If they don't appreciate lyrics, because, I mean, I've heard the argument be made, and I agree with it. When you're in the club, you're not sitting there with a drink like, I'm listening to the lyrics. You know what I mean? you're sitting there and you're just trying to enjoy yourself, right?
Right.
So I could dig that. And I'm not trying to dictate, you know, what people think is quality music. But with that said, like you said, it was variety. Because back then, even the West Coast stuff, I couldn't stand West Coast. Well, I can't say couldn't stand. In general, I didn't like it. I mean, you know, I liked the NWAs and I liked the Dre's and, you know, the Snoops and stuff.
Right.
But I wasn't a crazy fan. Like, some people just like went crazy on the Warren G and the, I can't think of whoever else, DOC and all that. I was more of an East Coast person. And I might have said at the time, as a young ignorant kid, West Coast is garbage, but it just wasn't my bag, right? Right. But like you said, you had different musics, different types of music for different people. But now it's like there's only one type of music. That Southern music caught storm a few years ago. It eradicated everything else. And then everybody else now, the artistic creativity of just coming out with what you think sounds good is just dissolved. And now it's completely people just being like, you know what? That's what sells, and I'm going to do that.
So let me ask you a question. How much do you think the MP3 the change of technology era had a had an effect on this too. Like, how much do you think that that played a part in this?
I think it played a huge part in it. I won't even say only MP3. I'll just say the internet age as a whole.
Right.
Because it became to the point where you didn't need record labels or promotion or necessarily to spend money to get your music out there.
Right.
Right. So not only were Southern raps and Southern rappers and all that type of rap, you know, really what was prominent and dominating, it went from there to here without any difficulty at all. Because all you heard was, oh, okay, that's the song, that's the track. And, you know, through radio and whatnot, you hear what's hot. Oh, I downloaded it. Oh, this is everybody listening to. They're listening to this, listening to that. And you download it all.
Right.
You know, I'll be honest with you, man. I haven't bought an album in years.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, I'm sure and, you're not the only one, I'm sure.
Yeah. And the internet broke borders down completely. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, where as opposed to if you had that preconceived opinion that, man, I don't F with Southern music. And I'm not going to go out and actually buy an album.
Right.
But everybody's listening to this. Let me download the MP3. All of a sudden, it's way easier to commit to the song that everybody's listening to and let me check it out. You know what I mean?
It takes 5 minutes. And it's funny because, and, you know, we talked about this in the write-up for Cuban Links, but, and I know you remember this because, you know, back when the Cuban Links album came out, remember that, how much of an event that was?
And, exactly.
And we, like, our whole crew went to the store to go buy, like, most of us went to go buy this album. I made the joke that, you know, I didn't buy it. I think I dubbed it from somebody else. But, yeah. But the thing is, like, you know, everybody, you know, we all committed to that just because, you know, back then, you know, you had to actually buy stuff, right? So you had to, so there was a commitment there. There was a value to it. So when an album was coming out, you know, you couldn't wait. That buzz was coming. You just couldn't wait to just, exactly. You know, like, you couldn't wait for this thing to drop. Like, just the anticipation was so much. And it leads me to a conversation I had with one of my nephews who's, he's a diehard, I mean, a diehard Lil Wayne fan, right? And this and this is, like, maybe, like, 4 or 5 years ago when Lil Wayne was, like, really bubbling, right?
Yeah.
And he was talking about, yeah, you know, his new album's coming out, and he's... Man, he's like, I can't wait, talking with so much passion, right? And he's like, oh, naming off his mixtapes and this and this and this. He's like, oh, his next album is going to be just, oh, it's going to be fire. So I'm like, okay, cool. So I'm like, so, and at the time, I think he was working at, he might have been working at Best Buy, right? So okay. I'm like, so when it comes in at Best Buy, you going to buy it? He's like, he looked at me like I farted. He was like, he's like, what? Buy what? He's like, are you crazy? He's like, hell no. And I said, I just started laughing, but I'm like, but that's the problem. I said, that's the problem, right? Because music now is so disposable, right? Like, wow. you don't value stuff the same when, okay, like, for example, like, even if, say, Nas comes out with an album, for example, like, the consensus now would be like, yo, Nas is coming, oh, this is dope, da 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 da. It could be produced by Mike Will, that Mike Will made it. It could be produced by Swiss Beatz. You know, Dr. Dre, everybody, like all the hottest producers, just, you know, I'm saying Just Blaze, like it's 2004, but you know what I mean? Like it could be like whoever's hot now, you know, whoever's hot 10 years ago, like everybody could be making, you know, like the next Illmatic for Nas. And to a man, everybody will be like, yep, I can't wait to click on this. You know,
it's true. You're
like,
right.
Like nobody
to Spotify this.
Yeah, exactly. No, yeah, nobody's walking into HMV to go it's buy true. That.
With my free Fido Spotify membership, trust me, that's been saving my life these past year and change.
Yeah, so...
Maxio, you—that's actually a magnificent point, man. Because it sounds super cliche to say, but really, we're to blame for this based on what you're saying,
right?
Because if an artist, because when you listen to music, you really don't consider that this is somebody's livelihood. You right. really just think, this is music. I want it. Give it to me. Right? The technology's here. I click the download link. I want to listen to it. But everything is driven by finance. So if you sit there and as an artist, you realize, man, I ain't selling like I used to. And I need to make a living. And the best chance I have for moving units is to sound like what's hot, then I guess how can we really blame them for doing that?
Right.
You know, how can we? They're supposed to stick to, you know, their artistic integrity and come out with what they believe is good music, and that their select few true fans are going to enjoy, and even those true fans are probably going to download it for free.
Yeah.
And they're not really going to make a living off of it, which essentially is the point of it. And then they look and then they see people that they consider garbage making millions of dollars on a sound that essentially, like, you know how many rappers say, I don't write my lyrics down?
like it's a badge of honor, and it's like,
yeah,
it's like, no, you need to go to Staples and go buy a notepad,
or exactly.
don't even type it on your phone. Just go get a notepad, get a pen, you know, and just put it together.
Exactly. Like you've had rappers, and I can't remember. I'm not gonna name drop. I can't remember who they were, but you've had rappers who say, man, I don't even write my lyrics down. One, I don't write my lyrics down, and two, I don't even really, you know, lyrics. I'm not a lyricist. I don't care about lyrics. You know,
mm-hmm.
So when you have people like that, and that the masses are flocking to those artists,
right?
And you, as an artist that really prided yourself in trying to put what you considered to be lyrically music that was full of lyrical content, hey, I can't really blame them, I guess. But it's like we're suffering for it,
yeah,
as fans. But I guess we cause it at the same time. So, you know, I guess it's a catch-22, but It's a really sad state of affairs, man, because realistically speaking, when it gets to the point where you have a Drake, you have a J. Cole, you have a Kendrick Lamar, who are at the top of the rap game,
right?
And you look at it and say, wow, you wonder, is this like a new, are we turning the page now? Is lyrics back? You know, and I keep on saying lyrics. Lyrics makes me feel old, but mm-hmm. I mean, not just lyrics, like it's actual content and music back. And when I say content and music, I'm not trying to insult people that like trap music or that like, you know, other types of music. But like you said before, it's about variety.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's about variety because like we had spoke previously back, you know, with the whole Fife Dog reference, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tribe Called Quest. They're an iconic group, right? And you had the Tribe Called Quest, and at the same time, you had NWA. And nobody said that Tribe Called Quest were pussies because that they weren't rapping about killing people.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
like, we appreciated them the same way that we'd appreciate NWA. Like, you had both of those CDs in your knapsack, or both of those tapes in your knapsack, at, you know, back in those days, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and then you had, you know, all kind of different groups. You had Diggable Planets, and then, you know, you had Tribe Called Quest, and then you had Wu-Tang, and then, you know, you had you had Nas and his crew. What were they called again? The Firm or whatever?
Yeah, The Firm,
you know,
yeah.
You had Rockefeller. You had all kind of different groups, and you still had Southern representation. You had Outkast, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you had just a variety of different things.
And that's the thing, like you can have the variety and still be great. And that's why it's the golden era, because everybody sounded so different styles, different regions, but they all were great. Like,
yeah,
not every
exactly.
single rapper, of course, but you know what I mean? Like, the ones that were great were, you know, they're still making music today. Right?
Yeah.
So and it's, what's the word I'm looking for here? It's the path that we're looking at now, it's like the only way you're going to be great is if you kind of stick to this, or get known, notoriety, not great, but if the only way you're going to get notoriety is if you stick to, you know, this trap and 808 sound, you know what I mean? And it's
exactly.
Like you can still be different. I remember we had a conversation a few weeks back about in order to try to come up with a new style, you got to go like complete 180 and just go a whole different way. So like, you have to just be just talking about regular life stuff, you know, just talking about having a mortgage and, you know, and paying for daycare. Right.
Exactly. And then and then don't forget, you're going to be a lame for rapping about that. You're going to be like the lame guy that wakes up early to go to work to pay his mortgage. Like, what a cornball. You know what I mean? It'd be way cooler if I really did say that I was trapping and I was doing this and I was hurting this guy and I'm plotting to do that. Mm-hmm. That makes me cooler than to say I'm doing something else. And again, I'm going to put on the record, I'm not insulting. I don't want to walk next time I come to Toronto, catch bullets flying toward me. If that's your lifestyle, cool. I respect that.
Yeah, for sure.
But if I'm living and paying a mortgage and working 9 to 5, I would imagine you should respect that as well. Because like you know, Calvin, like everybody, you know, all of us have friends that, you know, dabble in street activities, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sure, they think that I'm a square because I don't do that, but they respect that I don't do that because that's not my lane,
right?
Right? They don't say that I'm pussy because I'm not in the street. It's not my lane. I'm a man. I handle life in one way. They handle it another way. We can respect each other, right? You know. But when it comes to music, that rule is, like I said, with the exception of Drake and the J. Cole's and the few, that rule is completely stomped on. It's like, if you're not a gangster, you're a frigging pussy.
Well, maybe it has to be, maybe you could talk about, like, you know, like having your RSPs, but just doing the trap way, like RRSP, RRSP, tax Seriously? Day, nigga, tax day, nigga.
you have, I think for certain people to appreciate, you gotta find the acronym that would appeal to them, like, you know, raping rap sluts, please, or something like that. You know what I mean? Because they wouldn't respect anything else other than that, man. Right. I can't say they, but I mean a lot of people don't.
Right.
Like the masses don't. And when I say the masses, it's funny because I'm not saying, like, the music doesn't appeal to only low lives. You know, people that have jobs and people that, you know, are successful still want to hear about that seedy lifestyle, I guess. And
yeah.
They still want to hear it. And I understand that. But mm-hmm. And I'm not going to keep on going in circles here, but I understand it. But it's just, you know, all about variety. But I think that, like, when you talk about this day and age, the biggest difference from what we grew up with is, honestly speaking, that monster they call social media, man.
Right.
Because that is the decision, that's the deciding factor in so many ways that we just accept that it is what it is, but we don't even really take in to the degree that it plays with our opinions on things.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because if I'm sitting there scrolling, like, let's take Panda, for example. Mm-hmm. If I'm sitting there scrolling on social media, or if I'm sitting there on my phone, right, which is everybody's access to the entire world these days, and all I see is designer, designer, designer. Like, what dance was it recently? There was a what was it? What's the dude that's in jail? Bobby Shmurda.
Yeah.
The Shmoney dance.
Mm-hmm.
Why did I know that Bobby Shmurda was popping? Because everybody was doing the Shmoney dance on social media.
On Instagram, yeah.
Yeah. Beyonce was doing it on stage. Jermaine Dupri did it. Puffy did it. Chris Brown did it. So they all told me, oh, shoot, you guys in the Shmoney dance? I guess the Shmoney dance is what's up. There's nothing else to be discussed, right?
Yeah.
So you see that, and it tells you what's cool. It tells you what's cool, and at the same time, it tells you what's not cool. Like Mr. Meek Mill.
Oh, boy.
You know? I mean, yo, the download button on my Spotify still had my fingerprint on it for downloading Meek Mill's album. Okay? And then he jumped off the ledge and said what he said about Drake. And again, you know me, I told you, I was a Meek Mill fan from back Flamers 3, Flamers 2, back in the days, his mixtapes.
Right.
But man, when I saw those memes, Calvin, yeah. Those memes. It's hard to listen to Meek when I see the memes of him in a wedding dress. It's hard.
Yeah, it's changed the way we consume music. It definitely has an effect, for sure. You know, and then somebody like Drake, like, you know, he used all of that. It was like a It was like a sensei battling a person that has their yellow belt. That's how it felt when they went up against each other. And the thing that I think that was disappointing, especially at the time, because you know Meek Mill came up with other stuff afterwards, but at the time when that whole thing was bubbling last summer, the thing that was sad was that Meek Mill didn't come with anything. You know what I mean? So that part was the shameful part, because you're sitting there like, okay, you know, back in the day when guys are beefing, it was like, okay, you're gonna get, for the next 2 weeks or next month, you're going to get this person's best. They're going to pull all the tools out and give you the best work that they got to go after this person, right? So it's like for Meek Mill just to send out, you know, just make a comment, you know, Drake comes out with a song, and then he's just still just, you know, going on tour and just still chilling and counting money and, you know, trying to throw up a meme or two, and you're like, wait a minute, so is this guy not going to put out music? Like, what's... Like, it was almost confusing.
You know what, though? This is my theory to that. My theory, again, is we may be the old guys, but like I said before, Calvin, we're right. And we're right, and Drake approached this the way our people did back in the day.
Yeah.
The way, right?
Which you can appreciate.
Exactly. He brought music. So even people, because Meek approached it like the new generation. Man, I'm gonna go up on Instagram. I'm gonna talk. I'm gonna be chewing on big stacks of money. I'm gonna have my chains on the table with money and take pictures. People are gonna know I make money, and I'm gonna have a gun there, and they'll know I'm a gangster who makes money, and they know Drake's not a gangster. So case closed, I won. And that's the rules in Instagram in this generation, essentially.
Yeah.
But Drake brought our rules to the fight.
Yeah.
He brought our rules where he's like, nah, I'm going to bury you with what we do, music. So even this generation was like, whoa, what's this? They wasn't expecting that. what's this stuff? Music? This musician is bringing music to the fight?
You know? What a concept.
Seriously. I know we could do that. Let me check the rule book. Can we do that?
You know? Wait a minute. Rappers? Rap. Holy. Hey. Later. Oh, my God.
Seriously. So... When he brought that, it was like such an outlandish idea that no one could understand it or no one was prepared for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and it was dope too. I mean, let's be honest, it's not as dope. It was not Ether or Takeover.
Right.
But he had some lines there, a few lines of classic lines.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, after that, the combination of that and then... which started like the actual common man, you know, the common meme generating folk out there to take that baton, the baton, which was the track, and just turn it into a meme.
Yeah. Until a life of its own.
Yeah. With that tandem, it was over, man.
Yeah.
Oh,
and he hasn't fully recovered since, but I know we got to go just now, but I just think in closing, just one of the last points I wanted to make on this was just, you know, everything is in cycles, right? Fashion, you know, like, and even music, everything's in cycles. So after, you know, with back in the 90s, you had Biggie and everybody else was popping. Then you had the whole shiny suit era and then that was going on for a while. And then we needed something hard. And then DMX came, you know, and then Hov changed his style back up. And then, you know, then everybody else was coming back hard. It was, you know, hard and then lyrics and everything again. And then you had the whole Ja Rule era, you know, that kind of softened it back up. But then boom, we got 50 Cent. Right.
Yeah.
So it's like everything kind of goes in stages. Right. So. But the thing is, it's like now you're like, OK, so this is trap. This is trap's time. Cool.
And then hold on. And then let's not forget, you have 50 Cent who buried Ja Rule and then pretty much started doing the same kind of music he was burying Ja Rule for.
Yeah. True. Very true. But this is what I was saying before. It's like, so now it's trap's time and they're on the peak of the mountain. Cool, you know?
Yeah.
That's cool. But like after now you're sitting there like, okay, well, it's been 5 years now. is something else gonna come around? And you know, and as you said, like when you know, with Drake and we keep referring back to the big three, you know, Drake, Cole and Lamar, but it's like you're figuring, okay, is other guys not gonna follow this trend? Because they're almost like that glass of water in the desert. Like it's as much as everybody loves playing in the sand, as soon as you get that mug of water, you're gulping that down. You know, you're fist fighting people to get another sip. You know, like it's,
exactly.
you could tell like it's needed. And it's funny, even the younger generation is, even they appreciate it too, because I remember driving with my niece one day, and I had it on the radio, and there was they had a trap session, right? So they're just Saturday night, it's all trap, you know, all Little Uzi, Little Nug Nug, you know, whoever's out, and then all the songs is going, and about 20 minutes into it, she's like, because we, you know, we're driving a little distance, and 20 minutes into it, she's like, Uncle Calvin, can we take off the radio? I'm like, yo, are you serious? I'm like, this is your stuff. I figure you would love this. And she's like, after a while, who can take this for this long? You know, and I'm like, wow. You know, but the funny thing is, you could say she's a little biased because she grew up around my family, and, you know, we're very deep into music and stuff. But when you talk to some younger cats, like, even they say the same thing. It's not just, you know what I mean? She's not the only person I've heard say that's under the age of 25.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, and it's funny because one of my other nephews, as much as he defends all this trap stuff, one of his favorite groups, if not his favorite group, Sean, is a Tribe Called Quest, which is weird,
wow.
Right? Like, would you expect that from a 17-year-old?
Well, I was gonna ask you if your nephew was 40. 17?
Yeah, that's his. I remember seeing him one day, and he had like a Tribe shirt. He has a Wu-Tang shirt. I don't even have these shirts.
Wow.
You know, so it's like you can see that there is an appreciation there, you know. So I think when the cycle comes, you're hoping it's gonna flood everything back up with just lyrical content, and that's gonna mean something again. Hopefully, we'll see. You know what I mean? Like I said, trap is needed. It is definitely needed. I don't care what anybody says. It's needed, but it can't be the end all be all. So
yeah, I agree. And like, I mean, in closing, I'll just say this. I mean, you know me. I like to get. I like to say things and whatever. I'm not trying to say that trap is garbage, because like I said, who am I to dictate what people like? And also, I mean, there are trap music there's trap music I like as well, right?
Right.
The only thing, and the only way I was trying, like, you know, with the 2 Chainz saying what I said about him, is just to make my point that people are acting with 2 Chainz like we used to act, like, let's say, you know, when you heard Cannabis or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's what I want to close on, is that if you sit there and ask, you know, this generation of trap music fans, do you ever listen to a track and you're listening to it and you hold your head because it's so, the lyrics are so dope, you think your head is going to explode? Like, remember that back in the day? And you'd be like, oh my gosh, you're holding your head because you're like, I can't believe he just said that. And you got to rewind it. And you rewind it again, you listen to it, you're like, oh shit, I cannot believe this. You know? And
yeah.
You're talking to yourself like, I can't believe this guy just said this to me. I can't believe this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I haven't done that to a song in eons, man. It's been years since I've done that.
Have you had to pull up a song, like a selector, and pull it up because you just couldn't believe it?
Yeah, no.
That hasn't happened. I mean, and if you have, if no music has that effect on you, then all I'll say is it doesn't have the same effect on you than it had on us growing up. That's all I'll say. Mm-hmm. I'm no judge of this generation, but that music had that effect on us. And we would talk to each other and say, can you believe what he said? Right?
Mm-hmm.
We'd have those conversations. And in barbershops, people would be like, who's the best MC? Because why? He said, oh, can you believe when he said that? Do people say that today to one another? Can you believe when so-and-so said, what's it called? Do they say that these days? Do they not?
No, I think if anything, you go by how it makes you feel, but mm-hmm. or maybe how it makes you dance, you know, or that time that you were in a club and the song came on and that booty was shaking in front of you, or for women, that guy was looking real good, you know, when that song came on and whatever.
Yeah.
It's not lasting. It's almost like as soon as you leave the club, that memory is almost gone. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't hold weight anymore.
You know, I'm really trying to make a case that we're just not the old disgruntled men, but that really, it really feels that way. Does it not, man? I'm really trying to explain my case, but there's nobody who's not in that generation that's not going to be like, these 2 old guys just don't get it. That's,
you know?
That's essentially, you know, I withdraw my case, Your Honor. Forget it. It is what it is. bounce on to the music.
Well, you know what? Let's. I'll just do a quick sideline thoughts that I have here. Just a random thought I just want to pass by. Right. So I'll mention this. So the four elements of hip hop back in the day, you know, when it started, was like, if this is supposed to be like almost like respected like hieroglyphics. It's the four elements of hip hop supposed to be MCing, DJing, breakdancing, and graffiti, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now we're in 2016. Does those elements need to be updated? And if so, what should it be?
Oh, Calvin, why are you doing this to me? You're gonna get me crucified. I can't. I'm gonna speak about this, and I'm not gonna be able to leave my house.
And this is for jokes. This is for jokes. So anybody who's taking this seriously, you know, at least this part of the podcast, shame on you. But go on.
Okay. MCing, right?
Yeah.
I think there is still, I won't call it a subculture, but does this generation even call hip hop anymore, or do they call it rap?
Or trap. I guess trap. I don't know.
Or trap. Yeah. If I was like, is it true hip hop? Like I don't know if I see girls saying like, man, I love hip hop. I don't know if I hear that personally. Mm-hmm. It's more like I love 2 Chainz or I love Future. It's, you know,
yeah.
I think that the appreciation for hip hop as an art form, that's kind of for our generation more so, or for that subculture of, was it you that put me onto that? Barrel Brothers and them?
Yeah, it might have been me, yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, the underground dope artists that you never hear of, right? So I think that MCing is still very, if you want to talk about the true hip-hop, it's still very prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
DJing, I mean, with technology, right? You know, and the fact that you bring your laptop to the club to be the DJ. I mean, I'm not a DJ. I can't do either. I can't even bring my laptop to the club and DJ, so I'm not knocking the one that does that. But I would think that the DJs that went with the turntables and really had to do it, you know, the old-fashioned way, mm-hmm. would probably say that this current generation, that art is lost on them, right?
Yeah.
I would imagine.
It's probably easier on them because they don't have to walk with, like, 4 crates of vinyl. You know, you just walk with a knapsack, essentially. But, yeah. But, I mean, at this point, like, because of technology, everybody could be a DJ. I mean, that's another conversation for another time. We'll leave that for another time. But go on. Sorry.
Yeah. Breakdancing. I mean, again, I'm sure there's a subculture that respect that art.
Mm-hmm.
But the general, you know, the general hip-hop culture, I would say, or the young urban culture, I don't think that they really are studying breakdancing too tough.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, if you had a breakdancer legit breakdance the way that we know breakdancing to be, and then you have Chris Brown come and do today's just modern hip-hop-ish R&B dance,
right?
They're going to throw the medal or the ribbon to him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that, you know, actual breakdancing is still appreciated. And when we talk about graffiti, I mean, I'm in Montreal. I see some graffiti here and there. But as far as the actual art form itself, if it's still very prominent within the hip-hop community, I mean, I'm not really seeing it to that extent. Like, I mean, of course, it hasn't vanished, but I don't think it has the same impact it used to. I hate to sound like a broken record, but I think that if those are the four elements of hip hop back then, the elements, again, still, you know, the hip hop, the rapping, we'll say, is one. Other than that, the second is social media.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The third, actually, I think there's just essentially, I would say there's two. There's the music and then there's social media. That's it.
Well, if you had to make up an element for hip hop today in 2016, I'd probably say it's one of these four. It's probably auto-tune.
Good point.
Auto-tune, tattoos,
Oh my gosh, how could I forget tattoos? Man,
tattoos,
you're right.
A brick of cocaine, and what's the other one? The last one, and the fourth one will be Snapchat.
Man, and don't forget the promethazine and the cough syrup in your drinks. That is very important too.
And break dancing would be replaced by twerking. Well, although I wouldn't be mad at that.
Oh, gosh.
I wouldn't even be mad at that. Though. I'm not gonna lie to you right now. I'm gonna be mad at that.
Yeah, good point. Depends who's twerking though. It all depends, man.
So if you have to keep it now, yes. Yeah, so if you have to replace it, so yeah. So emceeing, DJing, twerking, and graffiti. Yeah, that works. That works for me, Sean. That works.
Yeah, I think that sounds pretty accurate, man.
All right. Well, on that note, listen, man, thank you so much for doing this podcast.
No, thank you, brother. Appreciate the invitation.
Yeah, man, it's definitely been a pleasure. We're definitely going to have you back for sure. And not to sound like we're going to piggyback this old head concept, but in June will be the 20th anniversary because I do the Golden Era series. That's, you know, probably have another year or so doing that.
Okay.
But in June, we're going to do a 20th anniversary podcast on Jay-Z's Reasonable Doubt.
Nice.
So, you know, I definitely got to have you back on that. We got to discuss that and break that down a little bit. So,
Sounds good.
So yeah, man. So hold tight for that. But on that note, and once again, a special shout out. Thank you once again to Sean, and for the earlier podcast earlier today. Thank you for contributing to the podcast, O'Neal. Come back for part one of that. To subscribe to the pod and the blog, go to SouthShoreAv.com. Once again, that's SouthShoreAv.com. For Sean Adonis, this is Cal C. And thank you once again for listening to the Av Podcast on South Shore Ave Radio. Until the next time, folks. Peace.